that's called Why Go to Church? Yeah, I'm not preaching it out of condemnation, praise God. I'm preaching it out of information for you. Amen. Well, sometimes we got to know why we got to be here. How many of y'all have ever went and asked someone or ever been asked, you know, why we got to go to church? That's a tough one to answer sometimes. You know, well, you need God and you need to pray and, you know, you need to do all these things. But a lot of times when you ask someone this question, they're actually going to, it's kind of a loaded question because they want an argument. How many people know, some people out there just want to argue why they don't want to go to church and why they ain't comfortable at a church or why they don't fit in at a church. And, you know, it's good for us to know why. And I'm hoping this sermon is going to be able to teach you that. Now, there's nothing wrong with visiting churches. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with going out and trying to find a church and find a church home. Because, you know, sometimes your spirit's going to know when you're in the right place. Praise God. Your spirit's going to know it. You know, I used to tell my real estate customers, I still tell them this, when I go show them houses, you know, sometimes you got to see 10 houses. Sometimes you got to see 15 houses till you know when you walk in that door that this is the place I need to be. When you feel that, then you just focus on that. You just hone in on this is your home. You know, get that question out of your mind. This is your home. This is your home. I want everybody to know this is your home. And, you know, then that's a good thing to be out there and going out there and visiting churches, but it's a good thing when you find home. Now, how many of us have traveled, gone places, done business trips, been on vacation, slept in different hotels, slept at friends' houses, slept at other, and just, you know, it wasn't the same, right? I mean, you can eat and enjoy friendship and stuff, but when you got home, when you finally got your keys out and you opened your own door and you went and you sat on your own couch and you went and you sat on your bed and you know it's your TV, you turn on your TV and you relax. And that, you know, your sandwiches taste better at home. Praise God. I know mine does. My kids will affirm that for you. And, you know, you just feel good when you're at home. Because there's a difference when you're out somewhere else. But when you're home, praise God, you feel it and you're home. So I want you to get that in your spirit today, that you are a home. And this is the place you are going to grow. Praise God. But, you know, when you look at different people, some of them aren't just looking for churches. One of the things that I like to talk about, and if you've been in the evenings with me, I have a series that I teach. It's called Exposing the Lies. Because, you know, lies, anything that keeps you from the truth is a lie. And you know what? What does the Bible say when we bring out the truth? It sets us free. It sets us free. So a couple of things that aren't lies but are twisted are these. Well, you don't need to go to church to go to heaven. Well, that's true. You don't need to. And then the other thing is that you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, you know, that's pretty true. But when the devil twists it as an excuse for you not to be in church and for you not to be part of church, then it becomes a lie. Any truth twisted is a lie. And when you look at that, and you look at people that run through that, and they see that, and they make excuses, I think that they miss out on something. How many of y'all ever miss church? You ever not been in church? And you feel like, man, I missed something today. I mean, there's something here. I'm going to tell you three things that God guarantees when we're here in church. God gives you guarantees that you're going to get if you come in and you sit under the Word of God and you sit as together in unity. You know, how many of us believe in this body right now that we are, how many of us believe that there's just something tangible in the air when we're together? That there's something so powerful when I can sit with you. See, it's different when you sit alone and you pray. But when you get a group of believers around you that sit around and they meditate and they pray, there's a difference in the air. There's a difference in your faith. You know, your faith goes from here to here. And I know that's the same thing that we get every time we walk through these doors here at Metro Church, is that there's one thing that I know that everybody said when they've come here is they said, we can feel the love in this church. We can feel, you know, what is the greatest thing out of all the gifts that they said in Corinthians 13? Love. Love is the best thing. I don't care if you can prophesy. I don't care if there's healings happening. But you know what? If you have love, then you've attained it all. I'm grateful that the members here at the church, we know how to love, you know? And I think that when you look at things in life, you got to look at what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of things people tell you about different churches and why you should go and where you should be at and why you need to be at church. But let's see what the Bible tells us. You know, I know one thing for sure that God guarantees is this. There is more power in your faith when you come to church. And how I can prove that is this. The Bible says one could put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So what does that tell me? If I'm alone, I can only put 1,000. But if I join up with other people in the Word of God, that means I'm 100% more powerful. You know, 10,000 is 100% of 1,000. I thank God that when we come to church, that we are 100% more powerful. That's a guarantee from the Bible. That's a guarantee that we have in our life, that when we get together, that we are powerful. The Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. There's something God established, something God put together for the men and women of God to listen to and to grow. He put the church together as an establishment to grow the body of Christ. There's things you bring to this church that I can't bring. There's things I bring to this church that you can't bring. We work together and we bless each other. The second thing God says is that when there's any sick among you, bring them before the elders of the church that they may be prayed for and they may be healed. Not maybe get a healing, but yes, they're going to be healed. That's guaranteed. God wants to heal those. This is where you come if you're sick. This is where you come if you're hurting. God wants to be here. And I think the third thing, which is more awesome than any other things, other than the power, other than healing, is this. God said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. I thank God that when we know, if for anything, I mean, how many times have we prayed at home and we just didn't feel it? How many times have we been working on something in our faith and we just couldn't get there? And we just, but then we walk into church and it's just someone gives us a smile. Someone gives us an idea. Someone inspires us. These are, you know, there's 26 attributes, spiritual attributes that each one of us bring to the body of Christ every Sunday that we meet. I'm going to cover most of them. I'm not going to cover all of them, but most of them. I'm going to cover them today. Now, when God says he's in the midst of them, we get together. That should make you jump out of bed. Praise God. That should make you jump in that car and say, you know what? I didn't feel him this week, but I know that his promise is this, that when I walk through the doors, that he is in the midst of us. He is in the midst of us, that I'm 100% more powerful, guaranteed that I can be healed, I will be healed in Jesus' name. That if I'm in the body of Christ, you know, it's hard, and I tell everybody this, it's hard to do wrong when you put people around you that are godly. I mean, I don't know how many of you go to regular works and secular jobs and you go do that. Not everybody in those places are saved, praise God, you know, but that gives you ground to work. But you know what? It's hard to get off the mindset of Christ when you're with another believer. It's hard to do foolish things, you know? And that's why a lot of people will stay in addictions and stuff, and some people keep falling over the same mistakes hundreds of times. A lot of my psychological courses and counseling courses say this. It's because, you know, they're just around the wrong people. It is good to be around the right people when we're at church. It is good to be around the people that love God with their heart. You know, it is awesome to look at my friends and my family and look at them and see that I have grown because I've been in church. Amen. You know, when we go through life, we see different things happening. We see different people, different people chasing different dreams. But one thing I need to make sure that you all know is that your church life has its life on its own. It is powerful. You know, you can grow further and stronger when you join with a body. I want us to read Psalms, first chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. And what I want to tell you about this is we need to be planted. There's something about planting. There's something that God has always gone. This is Psalms chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. And there's something about being planted, not only in the Word of God, but with a body of Christ. There's something about being planted that's going to change people's lives. Now in Psalms 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now how do you think you're going to be able to do all that if you're not with the body of Christ? Amen? If you're not fellowshipping with the body of Christ, if you're not constantly in the work with the body of Christ, how do you think you're going to be able to stay away from the counsel of the godly? How are you going to think you're going to be able to stay and stand it not in the way of sinners or sit with the seat of the scornful? It is with the body of Christ, constantly fellowshipping, that keeps you out of that. You know, willpower can only go so far, you know, because, you know, your flesh is weak. Your flesh will let you do things that you shouldn't be doing. But when you surround yourself with like-minded believers, when you put yourself in fellowship of those that love the cross, those that know the power of the cross, those are the things that are going to change your life daily. Now in verse 2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate, what does it say? Day and night. You know what? We have Sunday night service here too. Praise God. I got to plug that in. And we meditate on the Word of God here at Metro Church day and night. You know, we have Wednesday night fellowship here as well. If you want a fellowship, we call it service, but I like to call it fellowship. We get together because have you ever seen Pastor Sandy and Pastor David? They love to talk afterwards and they fellowship for another half hour. So if you want to come out and you want to get the Word of God around you and get inspired, but get loved. How many of us know we can go anywhere and get the Word of God? You know, all over this country, you can get full gospel, half gospel, quarter gospel, any of that. And you can get any gospel you want. You want it watered down, get it watered down. But you know what? The fellowship's what's going to make the difference. Amen. The fellowship, you being a place where people believe the same way you believe, is going to change things in your life. Let's read this last part of the scriptures here. Verses 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is a guarantee from God. That is a guarantee from God. You get planted. Who does the watering? Not only pastor, not only me, not only the elders of the church, everybody. I believe all of us water. I believe all of us give into each other's lives. I believe all of us are a blessing, and we create momentum for one another. We create momentum for one another. But being planted is an important thing. It makes you stable. Amen? I think growing up in life and growing up in ministry, one of the things I always used to not like to hear is like, oh, he's unstable or they're unstable. It's because, you know what? That's kind of like, you know, it's almost like an immaturity thing. And you want to get yourself away from that, and you want to be walking in God and standing strong. But when people see you go up and down in life, you get a lot of highs, but you get more lows than you get high. They're going to say you're unstable. Things aren't working there. Well, you know, I always like to step back and look at that person that's going through that in life and say, you know what? Where's their church home? Where are they planted at? You know, one time my wife, she grew a chili plant. And she brought it home from the valley and she put it in our house. We didn't stay there long at that current house, and so it didn't grow that much. But we went to another house and we stood at that house for about 5 years. And you know, because she constantly focused on it and she watered it and it was in the ground for a long time, it made chilies all year round. People were coming by and saying, man, your chili plant's still growing. Not only was that thing growing, but it was like overgrown that even the birds were dropping them down through the sides of the fence and there were chili plants just growing down there. And we looked at that and you know, I think of that when it's about being planted. Because you see, we moved from there and went to another place and we had only been there a few years and that chili plant, well, it gave up the ghost. It's not growing. It was, you know why? That chili plant was in the perfect sunlight. It was right by our pool. So it constantly getting splashed and watered, even though it was chlorine, we're growing some hybrid type of chili. And the thing, it was just growing. It was constantly being nourished. It was constantly being fed upon. Do you know that for the chili plant to grow, that the birds have to feed off of it? And it fixes the plant, it cultivates the plant, it makes the plant grow, and I won't go into details, but it builds it up. And that's the same thing that we are when we're planted in the house of God. When we are planted in the work of God, when we are planted in a home that God has made for us, we are growing. You know what? That sun is so perfect. That light that's going on that needs to make you grow, it's constantly being pushed forward. You know, how many of y'all know that each of y'all are the light of God? Each of y'all are bringing forth that sunlight that I need. I need something from you. You need something from me. When we get together, we bring that together and we grow. We grow. Do you know that half of us in here need, all of us in here need to be loved? That's one of the 26 attributes. We need to be loved. There's something that is built inside of you because God is love, that our body yearns for it. Our body cries for it. You see, that's why people that are not saved and they're in relationships, they go from relationship to relationship to relationship, and they're with bad people, good people, it don't matter, because they need to be loved, and they're going to seek that love out. Through my counseling courses, I found out this. You know, if you don't get it into the Word of God, and if you don't put what your body's crying out for, and you don't subdue it to the Word of God, it's going to go outside the Word of God, and it's going to be in something that it shouldn't be. You need to be loved. And what did we say before? Metro Church is loved. We have love in our church. Another thing, that one of the attributes is you need to be accepted. How many of us know that when we walk through those doors, that we're accepted no matter how you dressed, how long it's been since you've been to serve? It don't matter. You're accepted. When you come to those doors, I tell you what, I smile. I'm like, awesome. I'm like, great. I get to see my friend again. That is what you bring. You know, when you're not here, we miss you. My body and my spirit think about saying, hey, we missed them. I want to give them a hug. I want to make sure that they know that they're loved, they're accepted. You know, Mrs. Sharon, she was gone for a couple of weeks. I know I'm going to embarrass you, but three weeks. And do you know our church service was not the same without you, darlings? We needed you. We needed you here. And for all everyone that's been out and stuff, we missed you. Our spirits missed you. You bring something to this church service that you don't even know. It is tangible. It is the likeness of God that you bring. And every time you're here, you bless us. Not only in monetary, not only in just being here clapping your hands, but you bless us in the spirit. My spirit has needs and your spirit has needs. And we share this walk together because we're planted in the same tree. We're planted in the same ground. You know, when I looked at life, and I looked at just that my life in general, you see, there's lies the devil told me before I even started to become a pastor here, before even the pastorship, before me even becoming a member. I would go to different churches and stuff, and I would line myself up with good men of God, knew the word. I would preach here and there, and off and on, just preach here and there, not many places. And it was good, but you know what? I would go from church here to church here, and I just never felt at home. I just never felt at home. But you know, Miss Sandy's a good recruiter. Praise God. I was at one service down the road, and she's like, well, you got to go all the way across the bridge to go over there, Brother David. Why don't you come over here? It's such a shorter drive, and you just love our children. You know, you'll love the place. And, you know, I used to come here back in the 90s, or 93, I believe. And, you know, I knew the place much. And so we came back, and I tell you what, the devil told me this. He said, you know what, you're never going to have a ministry if you join a church. You know, that's a lie. You know that's a lie, because once I got planted, within a year and a half, and I was preaching, there was nothing really wrong with my ministry. Just, you know, my fire, my zeal was there, but it's something about being planted. Another thing is, it's something about being faithful. It's something about being here when you can be here, because I know a lot of us can't. A lot of times we're called out of the church to do things, and we have to take care of our lives. But when you're faithful and when you can be here and you're here, God honors that. And you know, in a year and a half, barely even that, God started talking to me to build a radio station. You know, that's funny, because the lie was, you're never going to have anything. Today, I have a publishing company and a radio station. And because I've been faithful, God has opened the door for blessings in that manner. You know, another lie was this, oh, you're never going to get to preach. You know, you're just going to be part of a member, be a church member, and God knows in me, I love to preach. And you know what? I preach every Sunday night. In fact, my preaching's gotten better, thank God. and I've been my guinea pigs, praise the Lord. But no, it's like I can preach every Sunday. Every Sunday night, I preach. You know, I looked at my archives, and I had some sermons and stuff. And when I used to pastor a small church back over there in the Heights, and it was all kids, and I'm the type that I just jump in. You know, nobody said jump in and preach here. I just jump in because I knew pastor needed some help. And I was pastoring these kids, and I had like over the 2 years that I've been there when we did this church and service, I think I had like 36 or maybe 60 sermons recorded. You know, I have almost more than that now since I've been back. You know, just sermons here, but not only here, but other places I'm preached. God opened the door for me to go other places and preach. And then when I came here and I started preaching, you know, the devil comes back and say another lie. And that lie was this. You're never going to be able to do any evangelism. You're going to be stuck there preaching every Sunday. You're not going to be able to go anywhere and do the work. He knew how to, you know, he knows how to get towards you. He knows what you want in life. And he comes in and tries to throw these, Bible calls them fiery darts. But that's why we got the shield of faith. And we learn how to hold that faith. You know, it don't block the darts. It diminishes those darts. Praise God. And you know what? When I looked at that, I got back from India in February. Praise God. You know, I tell you what, I've been able to do mission trips because I've been faithful and I've been planted. There's something about being planted, being that tree that just being watered by the word of God, and that you're watering other people. And then the last lie was this, and this is the lie that I think all of us will probably hear whenever we step out in ministry, and that is this, that you're never going to be financially successful. You're never going to make it if you got to stop doing your real estate business. But you know what? I learned something a long time. I believe the Word of God. And I sat around myself with men of God, and I've always believed this scripture. And Gerald Davis told me this, pastors told me this, that your gifts will make room for itself, because that's in the Word of God. Your gifts will make room for itself. And when I looked at life and I started to go, you know, I used to have to, I still go into Target and work there at the retail store. You know, it used to be 5 days a week because the real estate business was doing so bad. And you know, and in this whole year, I probably didn't even do that much real estate. But you know that my 5 days went down to 3 days. And that 3 days didn't affect me financially because God's been faithful. And that my ministry income and ministry money coming in to help the missions and help the radio station and the book ministry have been able to sustain me and pick me up. That in August, it started to overtake my salary at Target. I tell you what, that God is faithful. God knows how to bless you. God knows how to, when you're faithful with God, God's going to make, your gifts are going to make room for you. So if you ever think that you can't be here because you got to do your gifts and your ministry, you are believing a lie. It is untrue. God's going to use you because you know what? Your gifts cannot be held back by the devil. God's going to use you in his season. What does it say in the scripture right here? It says in verse 3, it says, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. In his season. I talked to Gerald Davis a lot. We had lunch and he said this. He said, son, he goes, you know how long it takes to make an overnight success? I'm like, no, sir, a lifetime. And that's almost his voice. It's a lifetime. It takes a lifetime. But you know what? That lifetime is your season. When that starts happening, it's in his season. In your season, when it's time, when you've been in the ground long enough, when you've been watered enough, when you've watered back enough, when you've done all this, that's what's going to make your fruits in your tree start to blossom. That's going to make it grow because you've been faithful, and you've been faithfully watering, and you've been in the sunshine, and you've been receiving, but you've also been given. What does the trees give? Fruit, but it gives oxygen. Oxygen. Every plant out there, every tree out there gives more oxygen than a single flower. That thing is just constantly pushing oxygen. You know, what does oxygen give us? Life. Life. We can't operate without oxygen. I tell you what, as a tree planted, don't think you're never doing anything. Don't think you're never affecting people's lives. Don't think that. You are given life. You are given oxygen, spiritual oxygen to people. You are being changing people's lives. You don't know who you're touching. You don't know who's being delivered. But because you're faithful and because you're faithfully planted, you're a good tree. You're a tree that can bring forth good fruit. And you're going to bring forth what people need in the time that they need it. And I thank God that we have a pastor that is open, that when your gift is ready and when you want to operate for the word of the Lord and do the word of God, he is open to just let you go and do it because you're faithful. We see faithfulness and we see great gifts open up. Now, when I think of that, I remember a song that I used to hear when I was a kid. And I don't know if I may be way too old or way too young for some of y'all. So we're just going to throw it out there. And you may know this song. We're not going to sing it, praise God, because my wife's like holding her ears already saying don't sing. And I won't. It's a song that goes, I have a river of life flowing out of me. Opens prison doors and sets the captive free. I have a river of life flowing out of me. Allows the lame to walk and the blind to see. Springs up, O joy, within my soul. Spring up, O joy, and let the river flow. I have a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O joy, and live abundant. Live life abundantly. How many of us know that we are those springs? That the love of God is coming out of us. The love of God is touching people's lives. I'm just going to go through a few lists before I close of what those attributes are. I told you we need to love one another. We need to greet one another. You know, we need to be subject to one another. How many know that part of being at church is teaching you the basicness that you got to teach others when they come in and that you got to be able to give to others? There has to be accountability, praise God. Be subject to one another. These all have scriptures, and I can go through them real quick or I can give them to you after service. It doesn't matter. And we also have to know this. We need to have a need for tolerance when we're at church. The Bible says, complain not about one another. It also says, speak no evil about one another. So we have to have a tolerance, but we also have to have a need of guidance. We need to be able to guide people when they're going wrong, not to rebuke them and hurt them, but to love them and cherish them and encourage them. Do you know that God tells us that we need to exhort one another in the scriptures? Does it not say that? There's a need of warning and urging. Another thing that the Word of God says, we need to edify one another. That's everything that I'm reading is what you already do. This is what your spiritual body does. This is what your spirit does for me, and this is what my spirit does for you. It goes beyond the preaching on the pulpit, praise God. It goes beyond that. It's life. It's what I'm giving you and what you're giving your back. How many have ever come in and you're just down? Just down, 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 down. But you've seen that one brother or that one sister come and give you a hug and say, God bless you. You encourage them. You know what? I tell you what, there's a lot of you I can start naming that encourage me. You know, everything that I've done in ministry, and from this point when I've been here in the station and all, I've grown, praise God. I can look at my life and I said, I've grown. And God is, because I've been faithful, giving me a pastor and Gerald Davis and Roger DeWitt, that they're all good people that encourage me. And you know what? They all got gray hairs. They got wisdom. So that's blessing me. God, I surrounded me with a council of godly wisdom men. And that helps me. You know what? God's going to open those doors for you. As you're faithful, as you put yourself into this and you make this happen, you know, it's good. Another thing is, I only pick like eight of these to tell you. Another one is we need to admonish one another. In other words, we need to be challenged. If you're not being challenged, I tell you what, it makes a dull game for you. I'm one that I have to be challenged in life. If I'm not challenged, I get bored of stuff and I just don't go in there. That's why the radio station is so good for me, because every day there's an internet crisis and I'm being challenged. But we need to challenge one another. But the other thing is, we need to forgive. The Bible says forgive one another. These are all scriptures that I'm just reciting out to you. There's a need to be forgiven. Do you know that we have to be forgiven in our hearts? It's a natural thing. We know. How many of us know when we did wrong? Hello. We know when we're wrong. We know when we're arguing too much. We know when we cross the line. So there's something when we come into church that we feel that forgiveness. You know, even though it isn't a tangible thing, you know, it's a faith thing. We need to know it. We need to feel it. Because we're still flesh and blood. We need to have that for us. And the last couple of things are, and I like this one, because God's going to bless everybody in this home. Amen. Can we say God's going to bless everyone in this home? Amen. The Bible says, envy not one another. The need to enjoy your prosperity. Praise God. You know, there's one thing that not everybody in church is going to have the exact thing that the other person has. Amen. And never feel that you're out of the box. Never feel that you don't have enough, or never feel that you have too much. You just know that you need to just enjoy it. And those that are in here, we should not have to envy. We envy not one another. In other words, it doesn't matter. We're all equal when we come through this door. Amen. Praise God. And the other thing is, we need to serve one another. And this is the last time I'm going to read you. But we need to serve one another. I shared this last time when I preached this to the evening crowd, and that was this. How many of us like going to restaurants? Oh, we love going to restaurants. Why? I mean, we like the food. Praise God. There's one church that likes to eat, I tell you that. But We love to be served. We love to go over there and sit down and, yes, sir, can I get you something? You need more tea? You know, do you like that? Well, we're going to give you a special treat and we're going to have this special. It is good. Our physical bodies like to be treated special. Don't you think our spiritual bodies likes to be treated special? You know, I haven't done this in a while, but I used to go out and do valet and but then they moved me to waitering, and it was good money in between the Target and real estate, and I'd go out there and make pretty good money. And I tell you what, I've seen the people really pampered, really rich in the River Oaks area. I'd be over there with catering and bringing stuff, and they're so spoiled. They love to be served and stuff. And I thought about this one night when I was out there. I go, wouldn't that be awesome? And the body of Christ was just out there so happy to just give like this. So happy. And people were needing it so bad that we were like waiters bringing out the spiritual goodness to them. Yeah. Bringing out some spiritual faith hors d'oeuvres or whatever. You know, we're out there just blessing them. Yeah. See, that is something that people love to be served. So, you know, our spirit needs to be served. But I think beyond everything, my friends, and if you want these 26 attributes, I'll give them to you after church. And the main thing is, my friends, this is your home. This is your home. Let your hair down. Feel relaxed. You know, feel relaxed. This is a place where God's going to bless you. And beyond that, my friends, you know, God has some great things for you. And each one of us are here for one another. Each one of us are here to be a blessing, to be a blessing to each other. There's some great things that you do that I can never do. And some things I do that you could probably not do. But you know what? We're together. Every success we're having on the station, 745,000 people last month. Praise God. That is God. That is a reflection of this church. That is a reflection of this church. Everyone that is coming to this station, everyone that's being blessed, I told Pastor, I created myself a job. I'm constantly in this, 30 hours a week. You know, it's like a, it's something, if you ever have something that you want to do for God, you got to work on it every day. You got, whether it's prayer, whether it's studying, you know, getting sermons together and stuff, and praying, and all the praying and all the reading you've done in your life is going to help you when you have to put sermons together, trust me. And reading stuff, but just anything that's worth it in life takes time. I know that we're good trees, and I know one thing for certain, and this is something I was thinking about when I was driving to church, and I'm going to close on this. My kids ask me this every Sunday morning. Embarrassingly, I'm going to tell you what they ask me. Why do we got to go to church? Are we going to church this morning? I'm like, it's not an option. I'm the associate pastor. You're going to church. But beyond that, parents, you got kids. And I tell you what, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. We cannot depart from it. I think Steve and DJ did a good job with their boys. They're following. Come on. They're following God. I tell you what, it is important. I told my kids when they told me that, they go, why don't we got to go to church? Why do we have to go? I tell them, well, you know what? I got to take you. I have to take you. Because if I don't take you, who will? Amen. Who will show you that's where you're supposed to be? I have to do that for you. Why do we get up in the morning and come? Because we have to. That's right, church. Because we have to. No one else is going to make it be here. But you know what? I'm glad that my mom dragged me to 150,000 Spanish services that I didn't understand a word they were saying. All I heard was wah, 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 wah. And I didn't understand a thing, but I knew one thing. I took one value from that, is even though, you know, all everything around me was like a blur and just everybody talking this weird language, I had communion with God every Sunday. I sat there and I could feel the Spirit move in the place and touch me. I didn't understand the language, but I seen people falling left and right, and very Pentecostal, and I understood the way God operated. You know, that's why we're here, to understand. And we don't know it all. None of us do. But we're here to understand the operations of God. We see how someone else is getting through something, and we're going to get through it. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Would you all stand so we can pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just thank you so much, Father, that we're here. Father, we are your trees. We're planted at this church, Father. And we are all waterers, Father. We're going to water one another. We thank you, God, that we can be here, Father. We thank you, God, that we are able to come through the doors and lift our hands up, because some people can't. And we thank you, God, that you're faithful, Father. You give us our three guarantees. You're going to heal us. You're going to meet us here. You're going to make us more powerful when we're together. In Jesus' name, bless everyone as they fellowship and eat. And Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 If anyone needs prayer, Pastor and me will be up here if you need prayer or anything. But other than that, y'all dismissed. Pastor, you want to say anything?
How we doing in the kitchen? Are we ready? Praise the Lord. Anyway, it was good today. I'm so proud of David, and we're blessed to have him. And let me just pray. I want to pray for y'all. Father, I speak a blessing over our people today in the name of Jesus. I say, Lord, they're going to grow in the things of God and fulfill.